Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 7 to chapter 41, verse 15. Jeremiah's thriving amid troubling government intrigue. God had called Jeremiah to prophesy in Judah during its apostasy until God's judgment fell on the nation. Jeremiah's ministry is then similar to what God's servants face in our era of spiritual decline. Such a calling can be marked by political opposition that seeks to cause God's servants to cease being able to do his work. Well, Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 7 to 41, verse 15 reports on godly Jeremiah's thriving amid dangerous government intrigue, and it offers a lesson for our insight, our application, and our edification today, especially with the uncertain times that we face in regards to our government with the election that is coming up. Okay, what I'm going to do is read the passage. It's a little long, but I'm going to go ahead and take it because it's a moving passage. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 7 to 41:15. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, when they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, Johanan and Jonathan the sons of Kareah, and Sariah the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi, the Netophathite, and Jezaniah the son of Maachathite, and they had their men. And Gedaliah the son of Ahikam the son of Shaphan sware unto them, to their men, saying, "Fear not to serve the Babylonians. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans or the Babylonians which will come unto us. But you, gather you wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and Edom and that were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of their places whither they were driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah unto Mizpah and gathered much wine and summer fruit, very much. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah to Mizpah. And they said unto him, "Do you certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to kill you?" But Gedaliah the son of Ahikam believed them not. Then Johanan the son of Kareah spoke to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly, saying, "Let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and no man will know it. Wherefore should he kill you, that all the Jews which are gathered unto you should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish?" But Gedaliah the son of Ahikam said unto Johanan the son of Kareah, "You will not do this thing, for you speak falsely of Ishmael." Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah. And there they did eat bread together at Mizpah. Then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and they killed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with a sword, and slew him whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans or the Babylonians that were found there in the men of war. And it came to pass the second day that after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, that there came some men from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 80 men, having their beards shaven, and their clothes torn, and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand, to bring them to the temple of the Lord. And Ishmael the son of Nethaniah went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. And it came to pass as he met them that he said to them, "Come to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam." And it was so that when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah slew them, and cast them into the midst of the pit, he and the men who were with him. But 10 men who were found among them said unto Ishmael, "Slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and barley and of oil and of honey." So he forbore and did not slay them along with their brethren. Now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was at which Asa, the king of Judah, had made for fear of Baasha, of the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with them that were slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Hekam. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and returned and went unto Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with eight men and went over to the Ammonites. Okay. When I was writing this lesson, I made a mistake. I wrote the governor's name as Ahikam when I should have said Gedaliah. So I'm going to use Gedaliah whenever I read Ahikam. Following his release from the prison court in Jerusalem by Nebuzaradan, Babylon's captain of the guard, Jeremiah went to Mizpah, which is a few miles north of the destroyed city of Jerusalem, to live under Babylon's puppet governor, Gedaliah, in verse 6. Jeremiah did this at the recommendation of Nebuzaradan, since God's will was for the people of Israel to submit to the Babylonian rule. You'll remember back in Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7, he had written a letter to the captives that were in Babylon saying, settle down and pray for the peace of the city where you're at, because as it goes with that city, so it's going to go with you. So the will of God was to submit to the Babylonians at this time. So following the suggestion of the Babylonian captain would have been understood by Jeremiah to be the will of God for his life. So he's just following the Lord's will. For some weeks, life in this arrangement yielded a welcome order and peace after Jerusalem's dreadful fall. News of Gedaliah's governorship was welcomed by Hebrew guerrilla forces in the field that had escaped capture by the Babylonians, as well as by Hebrews who had fled Babylon's invasion to Moab, to Ammon, and to Edom. So they all returned and gathered around Ahikam at Mizpah. Well, Ahikam told the guerrilla forces that they should not fear the Babylonians, but that they should dwell with him under Babylon's rule and harvest the crops of the land. So they, with the returning Hebrew refugees from the foreign lands, gathered much wine and summer fruits. Now, this would have taken a number of weeks, probably a couple of months. So this is the summertime, and it's going into the fall, pretty much the time of the year like we have now. However, this peaceful, orderly lifestyle was unfortunately cut short due to leadership intrigue and failure. Johanan, the son of Kareah, leader of the guerrilla forces, told Gedaliah, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, of the Hebrew princes, with connection to the Hebrew throne, was being sent by Ammon's king Baalis to kill Gedaliah, likely to set Ishmael up as ruler in Israel due to Ishmael's claim to be of Israel's royal seed. Gedaliah refused to believe Johanan's warning, and he refused another order by your offer by Jonathan to slay Ishmael as a preventative measure in securing Gedaliah's safety. Nevertheless, Gedaliah should have heeded Johanan's warning. Ishmael pretended to want to fellowship with Gedaliah, and he came with other men of the Hebrew royal line and assassinated Gedaliah and the Jews who were ruling with him, including the men of war who were guarding them. Slew other Hebrews who were bringing food to offer to the temple, and took the people who had come under Gedaliah's rule to go away, looking for more food that had been told they had been told was hidden in the fields. Significantly, the bodies of Gedaliah and his slain men were thrown into a cistern that had been dug by Judah's king Asa to protect life from invaders of the kingdom of Israel. So that cistern that had been designed to save life was now used to hold dead bodies. The guerrilla forces under Johanan were absent during Gedaliah's assassination. So when they heard of Ishmael's deed, they pursued the group and its captives and caught up with them at Gibeon, which is 4 miles from Mizpah. In the confusion that followed, the captives gladly turned to follow Johanan, and Ishmael escaped with eight men to the Ammonites. Jeremiah had faced all this trauma, so he had experienced the shock of Gedaliah's assassination, the capture by Ishmael's forces, the trek of 4 miles to Gibeon with all of its future uncertainties, and the glad relief of being rescued by Johanan and his guerrilla forces. Now, this is a lot of trouble for Jeremiah to face, and he's just following the Lord's will. The problem here is a failure of leadership. Gedaliah didn't take the warning that he had taken. He was too lax in regards to that. So the lesson is, though following God's will and submitting to Babylon's rule, by heeding Nebuzaradan's suggestion that Jeremiah live under Gedaliah, Babylon's puppet governor, a move that initially proved to be orderly, peaceful, and productive, Jeremiah still experienced trouble due to the failure of Gedaliah to heed a wise warning by Johanan about Ishmael's plans to kill him. So Jeremiah experienced trauma at Ishmael's attack, captivity, and a trek to an unknown destination, only to be glad to see Johanan and his guerrilla forces deliver him and the other Hebrews. And we're going to find out as we go further why God allowed this whole thing to happen. There's still unfinished business with the people and with the soldiers in the field because they're really not trusting the Lord. So that's what the Lord's allowing to occur. But we'll find that out later. But heeding God's will generally produces orderly peace and productivity. But due to a lack of human wisdom or care among leaders, it can also involve serious trials for God's people, which is not their fault. Nevertheless, we need to trust God even in times of uncertainty and crisis caused by a failure in leaders, for God's plan will be fulfilled. This is pretty timely. My wife was talking with one of the members in her church, one of the people who was attending our church and everything, and the person was expressing concern about the election that's coming up. Because it looks like no matter who wins the election, there's going to be a problem. So if Kamala Harris wins it, you know, there are going to be all sorts of charges about duplicity and everything in regards to the election itself, and a lot of people will feel ill at ease. If former President Trump wins it, it's not going to settle either things either, because the other side is very, very much opposed to that way. So this believer was expressing concern about the election itself. It doesn't look like there's a peaceful a solution to this thing. And my wife was able to share with her, well, the outcomes of elections, and this is according to Romans chapter 13, 1, are God's business. That verse says something to the effect, there is no power but it be of God. Even when Nero came to the throne, that was God's will. Now, Nero is the one who put Peter and the Apostle Paul to death. But that was the will of God, and God was shifting things at the time. And through that period of time, the church actually blossomed as far as the numbers of people. There were many, many people came to Christ during the 10 persecutions that the Roman Empire put upon the church. And there was a tremendous spread of Christianity. That happened in Russia when the Soviet Union took over, Lenin and Stalin and whatnot. I think they started off with a number of Christians, and when they finished the persecutions, the Christians were numbered about 7 million, and so they decided they better stop trying to kill them outright and try to do some other things. And by the time Gorbachev came along, Gorbachev said the Christians are the only ones who are working on the collective farms. The collective farms are very non-productive, but the Christians are good. And Gorbachev says, we don't want to hurt the Christians because they're the ones that are producing. So the Christians had a tremendous testimony, and that was before the fall of the Soviet Union. So God has his will, and he will get it done. But what we need to do is trust the Lord. Many years ago, the Marxists came to power in Ethiopia. And my parents worked with Sudan Interior Mission, it was called at the time. Now it's called SIM International. And yet we had people who were sure that they were called of God to go to Ethiopia. Well, if you're an American missionary and a Protestant missionary and you want to go into Ethiopia and it's run by Marxist rulers, you're not going to get your visa accepted. Well, there happened to be a Christian who was responsible for stamping the visas, and he was in the office. So if he found out it was a missionary, boom, they got the stamp, and he went through. And the leader, the Marxist leader, apparently wasn't aware of this. So under cover of this Christian covering for these missionaries, we were able to get missionaries in to the land of Ethiopia, and they just kept trucking along. And that type of thing has happened. God is really sovereign. That Christian was obviously risking his life, because if the Marxist leader had found out about it, that would be it. But God will achieve his perfect will, and he's the one who's sovereign over who gets into authority. So we're responsible to vote. You know, that's our responsibility to vote. But the responsibility of who gets elected is God's business. That's his business. And what we need to do is just rely upon the Lord and trust him.